Hi, hey, welcome to the Doorway of the Supernatural. Now, the purpose of this program, for those of you that glimpse it for 30 seconds or so, is never going to happen in your life. The purpose of this program is designed to teach you how to operate in the supernatural. It is not a drive-through McDonald's. It ends up being a way of life. The disciples followed Jesus Christ for 3 years, and certainly I'm not Jesus, but it does take consistency and some type of diligence and some type of grit about you to get anything from God. Yeah. It's just not cheap, and it's not flippant, and it's just not a way that you get things in the world. If you're going to find something about God, the Bible said that if you continue in my truth, if you continue in these things, then it will set you free. So many Christians want to just flip through and catch something. We're talking about the supernatural. If you want to live in the supernatural, then it's going to mean that you're going to have to pursue it. You're going to have to learn about it. You're going to have to spend enough time being schooled by the Holy Ghost, by the Word, and by someone that knows something more than you in order for you to get there. And that's why these sessions are taking place. This is a doorway to the supernatural. If you want to operate in the supernatural, you don't want to have a status quo Christian life. If you don't want the devil running over you, if you don't want the devil ruling people by sickness and disease around you, and you want to take your rightful place in Christ, which Jesus called us to, these signs will follow them that believe. And the works that I do, you shall do also, and greater works than these shall you do, because I go to my Father. So, Philip, today we're going to be talking about some things concerning the gifts of the Spirit. Yeah. But what people have to understand, that if they're just think you're going to get this in one program, you're going to get it in reading one book or doing one thing, attending one seminar or something like this, you are just living in a delusional world. Mm-hmm. You are living in a world that you're going to obtain nothing. And I'm probably preaching to the people that have lasted longer than 45 seconds. Amen. And but if you continue, you'll get it. It will get on you.
Yes.
If you don't, then it'll still be a truth, but they just won't have it.
Amen.
And so if you want to be set free, Philip, you have to consistently continue in the Scriptures.
Yes.
Jesus, you can't just be a hearer and not a doer. No. You have to see yourself in the Scriptures. James 1, 22 through 26, then you turn away and you continue in that vision.
Absolutely.
And when you miss that vision or walk away from that vision, discard that vision, get tired of that vision, then guess what? You're going to be cursed instead of blessed.
Amen.
It's real simple. And these may be, this is not how you're going to get people to watch or, I don't know what to tell you. Except to tell you the truth. I'm not going to lie to you, and I'm not here to stroke your ego, and I'm not here to make sure you don't have any tats in your hair. You're going to have to do whatever it takes if you want to get the supernatural.
Amen.
And if you aren't wholly committed to living a supernatural life, this program is not for you, so just scroll on down and find something else. But if you want to live in the supernatural, then you'll have to pay the price to obtain the supernatural. Yes, it's given to you free, but if you don't pursue it, if you don't change, if you don't get what God has for you, if what God has for you doesn't come up on you, you're going to be status quo. And that simply means that you're going to be an inch deep in God, and you're going to be about just about that shallow.
Yes.
Most Christians don't know too much.
Mm-hmm.
And I may be scolding them, but the bottom line is it's time for us to grow up.
Yes, it is.
Paul wrote to the church and he said, quit you like men.
Amen.
And we have to quit being like mere men. If you're going to be a person of God, then be a man of the Spirit, be a man of the Word, be a man of faith. And if you're not, then understand that one day, if you're not productive, if you're not fruitful, something's going to happen.
Yep.
And guess what? You're going to fall off the vine.
Mm-hmm.
Or you're going to be snipped off the vine. And we're going to be cast into a brush fire.
Yep.
And so we have to be careful. It's Christianity says that Jesus says that a remnant shall be saved.
Yep.
And so it's not for the crowds, it's for the remnant.
Yes.
And so we're talking, Philip, about this on this program, the doorway to the supernatural.
Amen.
And it's not going to happen by a glimpse. It's going to happen by a dedicated way of life.
Amen.
And if you stop the way of life, miracles will stop.
Amen.
That's just the way it is. Whatever it takes to obtain something, it takes to maintain something.
Jesus and even said in his word, those who are my true disciples are those who don't just begin, but they will continue in the words and the
absolute
ways of what I've taught them.
You're right.
And it becomes a daily diligence. It becomes a pursuit. And we stay in that arena of following after Christ.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we have to be consistent about our lifestyle with God. Now, the reason that I'm talking about this is because the body of Christ, Philip, without the supernatural, is just one of the many voices of religion.
Amen.
That's it.
Yep.
And religion, they say, oh, well, Jesus is not religion. Well, he is, because religion means something that you're devoted to.
Yep.
And I'm a devoted Christian. I'm Amen. Deeply religious about my convictions.
Yes.
I am devoted to living holy. I am devoted to obtaining God's purpose. I am devoted to walking like Christ.
Amen.
I am devoted to living holy. I am devoted to demonstrating the supernatural.
Yes.
And sometimes what makes the difference between Christianity and religion is not just that one is said, well, I'm a Christian and I'm not religious.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what makes the difference.
No.
The difference is that you're devoted to something.
Absolutely.
And what makes Christianity different than any other place of devotion is signs and wonders,
Amen.
Supernatural, that follows the preaching of the gospel of Jesus
Praise
Christ.
God. Absolutely.
Without it, Philip, we're just one of many voices.
Right.
And so we have to have the supernatural to confirm, to
Amen.
Verify that what we are saying is true.
True, absolutely.
Remember that Nicodemus said, no man could do what you're doing without God being with him.
Absolutely.
So when religion or other religions or other philosophical expressions of man's ignorance or of people's ideas or of people's conjuring up
right.
of what they think is God, if it doesn't have the touch of God on it,
Amen.
Then it's a
then
good it's indication that it's not God.
Absolutely.
It's not God.
Absolutely. That is the difference that we see with the gospel. We are serving a living God.
Yes.
He's not something that we conjured up or carved out of a wooden statue. He is real. And
yep.
Jesus resurrected from the grave and proves to us on a daily basis that he will touch needs. He will heal the sick.
Yep.
He'll heal the brokenhearted. And we see true manifestations of God's changing miracle power to verify why we serve Jesus.
Yes. When I was seeking God for this 18-month time period
mm-hmm.
through prayer and fasting,
yep.
every day, 5:30 to 11 o'clock, seeking God, praying and studying, looking at miracles, and petitioning God, and dealing with things that are hindrances to the supernatural in our everyday life with Christ.
Amen.
And there are many things that we would think that, you know, well, everybody else does them. Well, not everybody else is doing signs and wonders.
Amen.
And you're going to have to separate yourself from those things.
Absolutely.
And you're going to have to be a man of covenant, a man of faith, a man of virtue, a man of purity, if you're going to operate in the gifts of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Now, when I first come to know that I needed the gifts of the Spirit, I was in the office, and one of the things that God showed me was this string of pearls. And, you know, when you look at a bride, the bride always has a piece of jewelry that nobody else has.
Amen.
And many times you'll see pearls on her dress.
Amen.
They use different things,
yes.
but pearl is one of the things
Key
that
edge,
they wear.
Yep.
Well, the pearls that were around this neck where I was known by the Spirit of God to know that this was a pearl, a string of pearls that were the adornment of the bride of Christ.
Amen.
And this string of pearls was around this bride's neck. I immediately knew that the church was the bride.
Amen.
The bride was representative of the church. But around her neck was this string of pearls.
Amen.
And when I looked at it, I thought, wow, that's beautiful. Boy, that's great. The bride has pearls.
Mm-hmm.
But then God broke that strand.
Wow.
Those pearls started going everywhere.
Whoa.
And God said, you know, I have adorned the church with the gifts of the Spirit. They are like an adornment.
Amen.
Of a pearl, a string of pearls upon a bride.
Mm.
They are what adorns her and makes her different than just everybody else at the wedding party.
Amen.
And then he said, but if they're not released, they draw nobody to the bride.
Wow.
And so when those were activated, when they were released and bouncing all over, my eyes were like computers trying
Correct.
To keep track of them. And he said, just as they gained your attention, they will gain the world's attention.
Wow.
Remember, there was a fame. Mm-hmm. There was a reputation
yep.
that went out about Jesus.
Yes.
And when the fame or the notoriety
yep.
or the reputation that he heals the
yep.
sick, the diseased, and the bound, then the world
came
to him.
Mm-hmm.
They came to him from all sections of the
yes.
world, not just Israel.
Amen.
And so these were the pearls of a great price.
Wow.
And simply, I understood that when a man found a pearl, when a man finds something that unveils his identity,
mm-hmm.
that reveals Christ in his life, that establishes the gospel in a way that nothing else can establish it, no matter what it costs us, we sell it all
Amen.
In order to purchase that pearl.
Praise God.
It is a pearl of a great price.
Amen.
And so I realized that these gifts of the Spirit were given to the church.
Amen.
And that's what makes the church different than every other segment of philosophical or conjured up or made up or mimicking gospels.
Amen.
And Paul said, there are going to be people that are going to preach mimicking gospels.
Yes.
But he said, the kingdom of God is not in word only, but it is in power. And so
and
a kingdom preached without power
mm-hmm.
and demonstration, Philip, is nothing.
Amen.
And so we have been adorned with these pearls of a great price.
Amen.
And they cost man something. Jesus paid everything, his life
Praise
and
God.
His blood, to empower or to grant these gifts to the
yes.
church. But it takes everything from an individual to operate, to have, to own, and to demonstrate these gifts.
Amen.
And so we're talking about the doorway to the supernatural. That if you want to learn how to operate in the supernatural, then this program is designed to do just that.
Amen.
And this is the gifts of the Spirit make Christians what they're supposed to be.
Yes.
Disciples, followers, duplicates,
yes.
image reflectors
Amen.
Of the risen Christ.
Praise God.
Now, we're going to show a couple of miracles. I think we're going to show, let's just show the first four, and we're going to go down to where we were in Bloomington, Indiana. So we're going to show a couple blind eyes and a guy being healed in the church, and then this woman that was deaf for 25 years due to her own affliction. So let's look at these miracles, just stir your faith, and realize that what happens here, you can do when you learn how to operate in the supernatural. Here's the miracles.
Now, I curse this blindness in the name of Jesus. You devil, right now, I command you to come out of him. And I command this blind devil, loose him right now in this left eye in Jesus' name. Come out of him. Now, God, I loose the working of miracle on this blind eye right now. Give him sight, God, for your glory in Jesus' name. Now, you ready? Come on, look at me. Quickly, tell me what you see. Look at me.
I still don't see anything.
Come here, look at me. Don't be so quick. Tell me what you see.
There ain't nothing.
There ain't nothing. Boy, you're quick to pronounce anything before you look. Look at me when I tell you. You look at me before you say, I can't see anything. You make sure you look at me, okay?
Okay.
All right. In the name of Jesus, I curse this blindness right now. I commend you, you devil. Come out of him right now and loose him and let him go. God, give him sight in Jesus' name. Now, you ready? What's his name?
Ashton.
All right, Ashton, you ready?
Yes.
I mean, I want you. Are you ready to see?
Yes.
You believe God's given you sight? Come on, do you believe God's given you sight?
Yes.
Okay, Ashton. Come on, look at me. Quick, quick.
I still don't see
anything. Oh, okay. I thought you were starting to say, I'm starting to see people. All right. That's what I'm after. All right, Ashton. In the name of Jesus. Now, is it his pupil or his nerves or what is it?
Not really too sure.
What?
Amblyopia.
Yeah, well, what's that? In the name of Jesus, I'm telling you, come out of him right now. Look at me, Ashton. You see this? Ashton, you see this?
Yes.
You do. Ashton, you see me? You see me, Ashton?
Yes.
Ashton, you see this, Ashton?
Yes.
You see? Oh. Come on, somebody up. Come on. Give it up to Jesus. My God, hallelujah.
Now, in the name of Jesus, now I loose a miracle, God, and correct this pelvic. Bring it into alignment right now in the name of Jesus. And I command all of the pain in this hip and in this knee, I command it right now in Jesus' name. The authority of that name come out right now. Now, God, heal this in the name of Jesus. I loose miracles in Jesus' name. All right, lift your knee up. Come on, tell me what you got. Lift it up. Come on, lift it up. Tell me what you got. Got any pain?
It hurts a little in route.
All right, lift it up. It hurts where? Not here, right just here. Right here.
Yes.
But none in your knee.
None
in my head. All right, in the name of Jesus, I command this hip right now in Jesus' name. Come into alignment, and I command all this pain come out right now. Every ligament, every muscle in Jesus' name to go. Raise it up. Come on, give me your hand. Lift it up here. All right, what do you got?
Oh, all right. Wow.
Oh, wow, what?
Oh, my Lord.
Oh, my what?
It's so good. It's so good.
That's the beginning. What? Huh? All right, there you go. That's what it's all about right there. In the name of Jesus. Now, I curse this glaucoma, this blindness in the name of Jesus. You tormenting, debilitating disease. God, I loose. Right now, I ask you, God, to open up all the blood vessels. God, restore the retinas.
Yes.
Oh, God, restore sight.
Yes.
Oh, God, to this woman. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus, I loose the working of miracles right now. Oh, God, for your glory. Oh, restore this sight in Jesus' name. You wretched devil, let her go in the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Are you ready?
Hallelujah.
Now, as soon as I take my eyes open, my hands away, I want you to tell me what you see. No matter how little it is, you just tell me what you see, okay? You ready? Hallelujah. Now, Jesus, tell me what you see. Quick. Look at me. You see me?
Yes.
You do. You see me?
Hallelujah.
You see me?
Hallelujah.
You see me?
Hallelujah.
You see me?
Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus.
I loose created miracles, God, into these eardrums, God, into these nerve endings. Oh, God, I loose a miracle right now. I loose created miracles into the hearing canals right now in the name of Jesus. Be open right now in Jesus' name.
Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Now, listen, that's not her reading my lips. Now, what's it? All you skeptics, listen to me. You think God's not game. Listen to me.
Hallelujah.
Now, this woman's ears have been burned off, and she cannot hear.
Amen.
Is what they said. Now, you tell me how she's looking that way, and I'm speaking in her ears, and she's hearing what I
Amen.
Say.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Well, there you go. You have seen four miracles that have taken place, and they've all taken place in churches, not in crusades.
Amen.
And they've all taken place in America. Isn't Amen. That an astounding fact?
Praise God.
That the supernatural works in America just like it works any other place. Now, the last woman that you saw, she had gotten mad at God.
Mm-hmm.
Her brother had been killed, I believe, in a car accident.
Yep.
I think she poured gas on herself mm-hmm. and lit herself on fire.
Yes.
Now, she never died, but it burned. It was so intense, it burned her ears off, Philip.
Yes.
And they had plastic ears for her glasses, mm-hmm. Or artificial ears. Shouldn't have said plastic. I don't know what kind they were. But after 25 years of being deaf, having no ears, God gives her her hearing back.
Amen.
In a moment of time, just as yep. fast as the name of Jesus
Amen.
Could be spoken.
Yes.
And then there was two blind eyes, the one that was in Buffalo, New York.
Yep.
The woman came to that church at night. It was on a Friday night, and she was totally blind. And we just returned from that church, and we seen three blind eyes open
Praise
the
God.
Last Friday night. That
Amen.
Was 2 weeks ago. And so, but she was there. Her sister had brought her because she was blind.
Mm-hmm.
And she came. Now, in her case, though, there was a God had shown her in a dream.
Mm-hmm.
She told her sister, you know, I'm going to go to a revival,
Amen.
A healing revival, and I'm going to be healed. And God told her. And so she had faith that when she comes, she'd be healed. Her sister
Praise
brought
God.
Her. And boom, God healed her. The other little guy up here, is that Ashton?
Yes.
Ashton was born blind in that eye. And God, you could simply tell that he's
yes.
not going to say anything not supposed to be said.
That's right.
And God opened up his blind eye.
Yes.
So these are supernatural things. And these are things that God wants you as a believer to do. And so we talk about a conglomeration of things, Philip. But the gifts of the Spirit are not just, well, tell me what they are, and three
right.
categories, and three power gifts, three vocal gifts, three revelation gifts. It's more than that. It is an entire structure of understanding the gospel. It's not just about having a knowledge that things can happen, having a knowledge of the gifts of the Spirit. It is actually being enabled,
Amen.
Touched, anointed by God for those gifts to operate.
Yes.
And so we're talking about that, the doorway to the supernatural. So it's important that we cover a lot of different subjects because it's not just
one.
Yeah. And a lot of times people say, well, you know, I've read about the gifts, I've studied the gifts, and they have no power. And they never operate in. There's something wrong.
Yes.
Because they think it's just knowledge. It's not just knowledge.
No.
And so we're talking about the doorway of the supernatural. And if you want to operate in the supernatural, please continue watching us. We got a question from Bulgaria and from Daniel. And it's, can you get the power of the gospel by faith?
Mm.
No. The power of the gospel is the gospel itself.
Amen.
And so there is the power that is in the word. The Bible says in Romans 1:16 that I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ because it is the power of God
yes.
unto salvation.
Amen.
Hebrews 1:3 says that God's upholding every word that is ever
Amen.
Spoken by the power
yep.
that is in that word. See, this word has a transforming ability.
Amen.
The Bible tells us not be conformed, but be you transformed
Praise
by
God.
The renewing of your mind. This word has a transforming power in it.
Amen.
It has the power to cause a man to be mortified, has a power to cause a man to live and not be under death
Amen.
Because it has the promises.
Amen.
And the promises of God are made up of two things. It can produce life. 2 Peter 1:3-4, and produce godliness. Amen. Now, that is in this word, Philip.
Yes.
And this word is filled with the power of God, because this word is God himself.
Amen.
There is no separating.
Amen.
And but what we can do, as Daniel has said, is that faith is what releases or activates this power.
Amen.
That is in this scripture.
Yes.
And as we use our faith or mix our faith, mm-hmm. Hebrews 4:1-2 says that the Old Testament saints, Israel, had the same gospel that we have.
Amen.
We think it's a different gospel. It's the same gospel. And they heard the gospel, but it didn't profit them, not being mixed with faith.
Amen.
And so you're right, Daniel, that the power of the gospel is in itself. When you preach a word, it convicts them.
Yes.
When you preach a word, it pierces them. Yes. When you preach a word, it divides a soul asunder of soul and spirit.
Yes.
It divides the joint and the marrow.
Yes.
And so it has power in it.
Amen.
And if you speak it, if you mix faith with it, then the power that is in every word, every dot, every T, every period, every question mark, when you preach the word and mix faith with it, that power in that word is released.
Amen.
Into your situation.
Praise
or
God.
Into what you're applying it to, and it will turn around.
Amen.
And the Bible says they had the same gospel, but they didn't mix it with faith. Therefore, it profited them nothing.
Yep.
And so the gospel is the power. In the word itself.
Amen.
Is the power of God.
Amen.
And then he asked another question. Can you fast and still be in unbelief? Yes. Because we fast for different things.
Yes.
Remember that fasting is not just for one thing.
Right.
It's for multiple things.
Yep.
Remember Isaiah 58:6 says that to undo the heavy burden, let the oppressed go free, that you break every band of wickedness, and that you undo the heavy burdens.
Amen.
So there are things that fasting does.
Praise God.
But what we're talking about is there are areas, I think maybe Daniel was speaking about Mark 9:14-29, where the disciples couldn't cast this spirit out.
Yes.
And they asked Jesus, why couldn't we cast him out? He never said, you don't have power.
Right.
He never said, you don't have faith.
Yep.
He said, because you're unbelief.
Amen.
Unbelief is not a void of faith.
No.
Or if they didn't have faith, how could they have been a disciple?
Yes.
How could they have said, well, thou art the Son of the living
right.
God? How could they have healed the sick before?
Mm.
How could they have cast out devils before?
Right.
And as in Luke, the 10th chapter. And and why did the guy bring him there to the disciples if he didn't think they could do it?
Amen. Praise God.
So we know that it wasn't because of lack of power. It wasn't really a lack of faith. It was the inability to believe, be persuaded, or to let faith be activated in a certain area.
Amen.
And so when we fast, Daniel, what we simply do is, God, I want these areas of unbelief broken.
Amen.
Remember what he said to Jesus, help thou my unbelief.
Amen.
Is God willing to help areas that we have unbelief in?
Yes.
Absolutely. Does it come just because you get more faith? No. These things have to be dealt with by prayer and fasting.
Amen.
Now, some would say, well, I prayed and I just cursed unbelief in my life. I know, wouldn't that be wonderful? But Jesus said by prayer and fasting.
Amen.
Sometimes, Phil, things that are locked in our lives, unbelief, hardness of heart, things of that nature, don't come out just by, quote unquote, praying a 30-second prayer.
Amen.
It takes laboring. It takes intercession.
Yes.
It takes pressing, fighting,
yes.
doing a battle with those things, because they aren't giving up ground.
Amen.
They are and may be strongholds in our life. And we have to pull them down. And yes, many times it takes praying in the Holy Ghost in a certain area, because you don't know how to pray.
Amen.
Romans 8:26-28. And sometimes we just lump everything all together.
Amen.
Say, well, this is a prayer of faith. Intercession is the prayer of faith.
Praise God.
So, and it doesn't happen just one time. Praying in the Spirit when you don't know how to pray is the prayer of faith. So when we think the prayer of faith is, well, just pray once for 30 seconds and hallelujah, you got the victory. Those things are not true at all. Jesus himself, Philip, went to the Garden of Gethsemane and prayed for an hour, turned around and prayed the same thing for an hour. Boy, that is contrary to quote-unquote faith. No, see, we sometimes take everything and try to lump it into one. We cannot do that. And we need to understand the Scriptures, how they're divided, and we need to rightly divide those Scriptures so that we can understand that thing, those things. So when it's talking about unbelief, sometimes, Philip, there are strongholds in people's lives. And we have to get certain elements of our thinking turned around that causes us to start speaking differently. And sometimes we just have to, Philip, spend time praying in the area. And if you don't know how to pray about that. And so we're talking about the supernatural. And the reason, Philip, that we're talking about these things, and people might say, well, I've never heard that, or why do we have to do that? Well, these are things that most people don't talk about because most people don't operate in them. That's not a down put. It's just a statement, and it's a true statement. And I don't think supernatural people or people that operate in this are any more special than anybody else. But they do know something different, or they have went someplace that ordinary people do not go. And so we have to learn by people that know those things. But when it comes to Philip, praying and things of that nature about, like we're talking about in the area of unbelief and stuff, it's not just, you know, one time. And it's not just, well, you know, get more faith. And no, that, you know what? Jesus didn't say that. Well, you guys just don't have any faith. That's not true. And but we believe everything that everybody tells us. And the truth of the matter is, just read the Bible. Somebody makes a statement, read the Bible, and then look at their life. I mean, I've seen, Philip, you know, believers gather by the tens of thousands. And the sick walk out as sick as they were when they come in, and people preach on healing. You know, there's something wrong with that type of faith system that is utterly failing and leaving people the same way instead of transforming them. Faith is to transform people. That's the power of faith, and that's the just shall live by faith.
Praise God.
Not stay in bondage by faith, but live by faith. So we're talking about the doorway, the supernatural felt. We're talking about things that I know that people think, oh, man, I've never heard that. And I'm sure that they haven't. But I am telling you this, that I know that these things work because I've been through the journey. And I didn't just get a prayer cloth. You know, have people pray for you. I have people so many times say, pray, I want your anointing. Well, you know what? You can't get anointing like that. That you cannot cheapen what God requires of an individual to come up to and to possess. And
even Paul told Timothy, you must stir up the gift. You can have a gift imparted by the laying on of hands, but then there's a stirring up. In other words, Timothy, now you must practice your faith. And Paul wanted Timothy to be like him. Paul said, hey, I've prayed in tongues more than you all. I've fasted more than you all. I've studied these scriptures. Paul lived a continuous life of pursuit. He said, I'm laying down those things of my past to apprehend Christ who's apprehended me. And out of those, that's what we got to do, right? Start living patterns of consistently prayer, study, and fasting that creates the arena for us to grow and change.
The one thing that you brought out that a lot of people say, well, see, that's Abel. Well, he did lay hands on him. But the thing of it is, he was Timothy's father. And the Bible says, you know, he took Timothy. And he began to mentor, walk with Timothy. And Paul became Timothy's son in the faith. Now there is an impartation. But there has to be that father
Amen.
Image and that father relationship.
Amen.
Just like Elisha. Elisha received something different than every other prophet
Praise
that
God.
Was in Israel and even every other son of the prophet
yes.
because he called Elijah my father,
Amen.
My father.
Yes.
And so there is that sonship. There is that father relationship.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to have that in order to be able to be granted that.
Mm.
And Paul didn't just lay his hands. Well,
right.
yeah, Timothy, you asked me, I'll just give it to you.
No.
Paul mentored Timothy.
Yes.
Therefore, it's coming a time that Paul's about ready to depart. He is leaving Timothy his sonship.
Amen.
Inheritance.
Amen.
And a part of that was that he was following Paul,
Amen.
And Paul granted unto him gifts
yep.
that were his. But
yep.
we only do that, Philip, by the direction of the Holy Ghost.
Amen. Amen.
And we can't just yep. do it haphazardly.
Absolutely.
And yep. things of that nature. We have mm-hmm. to do it in order with God. We have to do it in the time frames
yep.
of God. And we have to do it only to the people
that God
has put us with.
But even though Paul said that you have a gift, he had to stir it. He had to be the one that pursued God. Timothy had to be the one that fasted, prayed, laid down
Paul
his
said, life.
Paul
said, meditate upon pursued. These things. In other words, give yourself
over
fully to them.
Yes.
In other words, if you, Timothy, I'm putting these gifts in you, but you're going to have to dedicate
Amen.
Yourself to resurrecting them, making them alive, and taking ownership of them.
Amen.
You know, there's a lady that attended our church, and she still calls me her pastor. And, of course, I haven't seen her in about three and a half years. But when she was here, every Sunday she'd come up, Pastor, lay hands on me. I'd lay hands on her every Sunday. Everybody would leave. She's still there. I laid hands on her, laid hands on her, laid hands on her. One Sunday, I didn't see her. Next Sunday, didn't see her. Haven't seen her in church since.
Hmm.
And so I was in a conference, and she came up, and she said, Pastor. I said, why you call me pastor? You don't attend my church. And she said, well, Pastor, I've done what you told me to do. You kept laying hands on me and praying for me. And she said, since I've talked to you last, she said, I've been to 18 countries.
Wow.
I've had
Amen.
Crusades in 18 countries. I'm preaching to thousands of people. Thousands of people are getting saved. And I've just helped a man come back from another country, and he's doing a church plant. She told me the name of the city. And so I'm helping him start that church. She said, but I'm just doing what you told me to do. I'm just going all over the world and preaching the gospel. You laid hands on me. I got it. And so, hallelujah.
Amen.
And I said, okay, goodbye. Glad to meet you, Sherry. And I was glad to see her again.
Amen.
So, but her and her husband are doing a great work. They're reaching. She'd been in, I told Eric, she'd been in more countries than I've been in
Praise
the last three
God,
years.
Hallelujah.
And so she'd been in 18 countries on her own.
Wow.
Honing out, doing miracles, signs and wonders, and having crusades.
Amen.
But she pursued it, and she went after it, and God put something on her.
Mm.
So, Phil, we've been talking about a lot of things today, and we really didn't get to the subject, but we're next time we come together here for Thursday, we're going to be looking at the difference between being filled with the Holy Ghost and the baptism of
Amen.
The Holy Ghost, and how we need to understand both. They both belong to the Holy Ghost.
Praise
They're
God.
Both work of the Holy Ghost. They've both been purchased by the blood of Christ.
Amen.
And but they're entirely different
Amen.
In people's lives. So we're going to be talking about that when we come back together on Thursday. So please join us. And we talk a lot about a lot of different things today. But believe me, I have listened to hundreds of tapes. And I've listened to them over and over. Because everything that they say, you catch something out of it.
Amen.
And we've talked about some things that will help people. And so forth, things that you need to combat, things you have to pull down, things you have to watch for, and all that kind of stuff. So we'll join you next week. And before we go, though, we're going to pray for you
Amen.
That God will begin to stir you. God will open up your understanding, and God will give you a hunger and a thirst for the supernatural.
Amen.
Now, Father, we pray for these people
yes,
that are
Lord.
Viewing right
yes.
now. We pray, God, that your hand would come up on them.
Yes,
we
Lord.
Pray, God, that you would cause them to be hungry and thirsty for
Amen.
The things of God. We ask that you begin to open up the eyes of their understanding, God, that they will begin to see the hope of their calling. Yes. They'll begin to see the power of the glory that you have towards them because they're righteous men and women, the same power and glory that you revealed when you raised Christ from the dead.
Amen.
Now, God, stir them, and God, begin to cause to come alive, God, the gifts of the Spirit, the supernatural. And, Father, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen
and amen. God bless you. We'll see you Thursday.